Recently, in late April, there were several protests at 150 Planned Parenthood facilities in 40 states. At least the total attendance was over 5,000. The main driving force behind much of this was Eric Scheidler, who is the executive director of the Pro-Life Action League. He joins us now again on Vocal Point. This is Vocal Point, and I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Eric, it's great to have you on the program again. Thank you so much for joining us.
Always a pleasure to be with you, Jerry.
All right. Now, I understand that in Aurora, Illinois, which is where you're based in, the counter-protesters turned out dressed in the red robes of that movie or TV series now called A Handmaid's Tale. Isn't that interesting?
Yes. You know, this has become kind of a new tactic of the pro-abortion forces. You know, this novel is kind of a crazy dystopian novel by Margaret Atwood. Very bizarre. It's about some future world in which fertility has plummeted and certain women are sort of forced to become, you know, child birthers. They're used for breeding. And it's recently been made into a Hulu series, one of those you know, TV series that's introduced through a streaming service. And it's, you know, pretty popular. They wear these sort of iconic red robes and white wimples, you know, like, you know, handmaids of old. And a group of them came out in Aurora, but oddly enough, one of these handmaids was a guy, you know, with a beard, stubble and stuff. So, you know, bizarre. I mean, how many times have I heard a man shouting a slogan like, keep your rosaries off my ovaries? And you're like, well, whose ovaries again, buddy?
You never know in today's age of gender confusion.
That's true. You know, who knows what that guy was identifying as that day, but you know, it's bizarre, but at the same time, you know, nothing that really troubles us much, because I don't think most of your average passersby are really aware of this handmade phenomenon. You know, it's very popular in the pro-choice world, but not really something that most people would understand. I think your average passerby would wonder, you know, why are there people dressed in red robes? You know, and we've seen this before where, you know, the other side comes out and they have really badly made signs. No one can read them. And it really just makes us look like we have a bigger group.
Hmm. Okay. So give us an overview of the protest itself. First of all, was there some sort of spark for it? Was there some, you know, catalyst to make you say, hey, we got to go out and protest Planned Parenthood this weekend?
Well, you know, we really organized this thing quite a while ago because we decided 3 years ago that we needed to go out to Planned Parenthood as an annual event on the nationwide scale. This was right in the wake of those horrific videos from the Center for Medical Progress that showed a whole host of Planned Parenthood officials and other operatives in the abortion industry scheming and even joking about harvesting tissue from aborted babies, figuring out how they could maximize their profits and modify abortion procedures in order to get the most amount of tissue for the different procurement groups. It was really horrifying. We organized this group, and there's a lot of fervor out there. People wanted to help spread the word about how bad Planned Parenthood really is. It was an important moment. And so we organized this first annual day of protest against Planned Parenthood in 2016, and we've kept going with it. You know, every year, though, we've had, because Planned Parenthood is such a monster organization, there's always something they're doing. We've had various themes over the years. You know, the first year it was talking about the baby parts issue and pointing towards the election coming up. Last year we were talking about defunding Planned Parenthood through the Affordable Care Act repeal, which unfortunately was scuttled thanks to John McCain. This year we started out really trying to push back against Planned Parenthood's stated plan of action for this year to advance their initiatives in all 50 states, targeting some states specifically, but they've got plans for all 50 states for expanding their abortion plan. So that was our initial reaction. We got to get out there as a group and educate the public about this organization, because, you know, people don't realize how bad Planned Parenthood is. But then we came upon this opportunity to reinstate something called the Reagan Rule. This was a rule for Title X family planning funds that was enacted by the Reagan administration. There was a big court battle over it, and it prevented abortion companies like Planned Parenthood from being able to get Title X family planning funds because of a conflict of interest. You know, they're providing the family planning, but then they're also providing the abortions, and they're supposed to be counseling about these things, and you know, there's a conflict there. The rule was upheld in the courts, but it was enacted right before Bill Clinton was elected, and so it never really came into force because Clinton overturned it. So fast forward to today, this is an opportunity for President Trump to strip Planned Parenthood of $60 to $80 million a year. Now, that's a far cry from their $500 million they get from state and federal governments, but still very important, and Planned Parenthood is very upset about it. But there's a debate going on in the administration about this. So one of our major themes for this rally this past April 28th was to call on the Trump administration to quit debating this and just do it. This was a campaign promise. It's something we expect of the Trump administration, and we want to see this happen.
I understand there was a conversation you heard about involving Kellyanne Conway.
That's right. This is very exciting. The day before these rallies were held, Kellyanne Conway, one of President Trump's advisors, had a briefing with him about this issue of defunding Planned Parenthood and what he actually can do just by changing the rules of Title X. He doesn't need to go to Congress. He can do this as the president. Simply instruct the Secretary of Department of Health and Human Services, Secretary Azar, to do this. And during this briefing, she talked to him about the 140, 150 ultimately rallies that were being held around the country. And I was really encouraged to hear about that because we know that President Trump is somebody who cares very much about kind of what the regular people are doing, the people who elected him. And, you know, pro-lifers did overwhelmingly support President Trump. You know, with all of his liabilities, he was still very clearly on this critical issue of defense of unborn life, was the candidate who was going to allow us to advance our cause. Hillary Clinton would have been a disaster. So, you know, we expect President Trump to be responsive, and it's very encouraging to hear that he knows about these rallies. And I hope that all the people who took part in them across the country feel a sense of real gratification there that, you know, President Trump heard about this, and it could end up making a decisive, you know, playing a decisive role in his choice to rescind these funds. We hope that's what's going to happen.
Were you one of the key organizers for the whole rally, one of the key driving forces behind it, or the driving force?
Well, there's three organizations that are the primary co-sponsors of this. There's 70 different groups, state,
wow,
local, and national groups that are co-sponsors of Protest PP. But my organization, the Pro-Life Action League, runs the show on this. We do all the heavy lifting. We're grateful for all of our partners, particularly the groups Created Equal and Citizens for Pro-Life Society that are you know, close partners and the three major co-sponsors with the Pro-Life Action League. But we do all the organizing out of my office and keep in touch with all of our leaders and all the recruitment and giving people all the instructions around the country, and we're really honored to be able to do so. That's what the Pro-Life Action League is all about. You know, we are leading America's public witness against abortion.
Now, in doing this, you have your ways of communicating to people, and I'm sure you have your email lists and so forth, but social media is a critical part of this, and the story is now really coming out and is beginning to, you know, continue to come out that groups like Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and Google, these are run by leftists and they have a leftist agenda. They don't like the pro-life message. They don't like the pro-traditional marriage message. They don't like the pro-Christian message. So, you know, there's a challenge here. Even your own slogan is a Twitter handle, which is the, you know, number sign Protest PP. Can you comment for a moment about social media and what would happen if there was like a complete blackout on the part of the big tech against you and, you know, others? You know this issue well, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's something we've been watching very closely, and we've seen some of our good friends in the pro-life movement, the folks at Live Action, for example, have had different things censored on Twitter, and other groups like Created Equal have had things censored on Facebook. I had my account suspended at one point. That was because of a malicious, you know, pro-abort who was claiming that I was fraudulently using the account or something. It wasn't something Facebook did. They turned it around immediately as soon as I, you know, confirmed my identity with them. So to their credit, fortunately, this is not an issue that has been a problem for us here at the Pro-Life Action League. We've been able to effectively use these social media tools and haven't run into any roadblocks, at least that we're aware of. But we are watching it very closely, and I'm hopeful that these big tech companies, whatever their leftist bias may be, also recognize that they can't cut off half the population. You know, conservatives and liberals are at the far ends of the spectrum, maybe 25% each, and then there's the middle ground that's moderate, leaning left and leaning right, and they really don't dare to, you know, be too heavy-handed with this, and I hope they realize that as time moves forward, because there will be competitors, there will be lawsuits,
yeah,
there'll be a dropping off of support, and you know, some people say, in fact, a pro-abortion journalist named Robin Marty recently wrote an article and interviewed one of my staff members, Matt Yonke, about it, about how Twitter is kind of owned by conservatives and owned by the pro-life movement.
What?
In fact, we're much more active there than liberals are, much more effective there. Now, that may just be the perspective of somebody from the other side, but, you know, there is a healthy debate going on, and we need to be very careful and vigilant and demand that these tech companies don't block us out, but so far, at least at the Pro-Life Action League, we've been able to get our message out very effectively through these channels.
And these channels are critical, wouldn't you say, for this, for you getting?
Yeah, they're becoming more and more so.
Yeah.
Fortunately, though, we do have other channels, especially as Christians. One of the most important ones for us is simply church bulletins. You know, we hand to all of our leaders around the country. We provide bulletin announcements and handouts and flyers and things. And they're able to put things in the back of a church and put things in a church bulletin. And the pro-abortion site has nothing like that. So we still have more channels than they do and a much stronger grassroots movement than the other side does, even with their crazy handmaids dressing up and the women's march and things that have mobilized more folks on the other side. We still really own the grassroots.
By the way, when I keep hearing that phrase, you know, handmade tale, based on that novel that you mentioned, and that they've made the book, now they've made this Hulu series on it and so forth. I can't help but think of the verse in the Bible where Mary, the Virgin Mary, receives the word that you're the one, that you're going to bear the Messiah as a son. You're going to give birth to him. And she says, you know, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Is that where ultimately the name comes from?
I don't know for certain as far as, you know, Atwood's novel, and it's been quite a few decades since she wrote it, but I've got to believe that was deliberate. Some attempt to kind of make Mary, the mother of Jesus, look like, you know, like she's not a... It's ironic, you know, that to suggest that she's not acting as a, you know, as a free agent in this. You know, she's really the freest agent of all time because she's able to say yes to being, you know, the one who gives birth to the Savior himself. What an incredible, you know, choice to be given to a mere human being, and she accepts that, and there's that beautiful, you know, prayer of hers, you know, my soul magnifies the Lord.
Right, the Magnificat.
She is the very icon of a true feminism that says yes to motherhood and that says yes to so many things. You know, she wasn't just a mother; she was also the one who, you know, stood by him at the foot of the cross.
Yeah.
She was there for so many of the critical moments, the descent of the Holy Spirit. I mean, she is the feminine icon, really. And here's Margaret Atwood kind of suggesting the opposite.
National Geographic did a cover story on Mary about a year or two ago, and they said this is the most influential woman in all of history. You know, and she obviously derives her significance from Jesus. Well, we have about a minute to wrap up. You know, where do you go from here? You've seen a situation where the, you know, Cecile Richards left Planned Parenthood, 3.5 million or whatever it is, abortions later under her term. But abortion and Planned Parenthood are still funded by our tax dollars. Where do you go from here?
Well, number one, contact the White House. If you go to whitehouse.gov and click on the contact form, you can send an email to President Trump, you know, and thank him for his pro-life commitment so far, but urge him to follow through and strip a Title X funding to exclude abortion companies. That's all you got to say. Change the Title X rules, and we use 10 with an X, Title X rules, Roman numeral X, to exclude abortion providers like Planned Parenthood. And, you know, and then just keep an eye on this issue. We've got a new flyer called Getting to Know Planned Parenthood that you can pass out to your friends and neighbors to tell them about Planned Parenthood and their massive role. They own 35% of the abortion market. People need to know that.
ProLifeAction.org for more information. Thank you, Eric. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.